gentlemen, and let's everyone go. In between, we fucking did it. we fucking did it, guys.
We made it happen.
Spoilers, we've been working for Square Enix this whole time, and we infiltrated their ranks, and we manifested Cisne into Rebirth.
It was a mosey manifestation.
I probably should introduce us. I'm Chris, joined as always by my lovely and faithful co-host Nick. Nick, I know how you're doing, but let the people
know.
You know
how I'm doing, everyone knows.
Everyone knows how we're feeling. Same way they're feeling, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And obviously we're going to be talking about the State of Play that just came out. About a week ago at the point of us recording this, but there was a lot in that whole thing, even in just the trailer alone and then all the gameplay stuff that they showed, and I can't wait to get into it. But first, of course, I would be remiss if I did not thank our lovely folks over at the Mosey Gang.
Moo!
And those people are Scott, Kyle, AJ, Danny, Kevin, Jillian, Brienne, Matt, Sam, Charlotte, Cameron, Garrett, Dan M, Ryan, Petros, Matt M, Tyos48, Colton, Tone, Kimmy, Chris G, John, Flynn, Jim, Joey, Trey, Carmen, Gracie, Benjamin, and new members, Lucas and Justin. And Justin, I saw you had donated on the PayPal. Just shoot us a message on Instagram, and we'll get you in the Discord there, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you guys so much. And if you people listening would like to support the show, we have links in the episode description and in our social medias as well. Give us as little as $1 a month or $1 one time, get access to our Discord, and we do fun stuff on there. We talk about all things Final Fantasy VII, a bunch of random stuff. I've been streaming my remake playthrough on there every week, and it's been fun. So if that sounds fun, you guys, and we will obviously, you know,
it's
with
a nice
Rebirth
little, you know, what it out, is too. It's a nice little pocket of hype. You know, whenever hype things happen in FF7, it's always good to, you know, peep in on the Mosey Gang, and everyone's just getting excited.
everyone's
like
just vibrating,
cool,
just Yeah, we've all just been talking about the demo and stuff, and all the stuff here. And you know, obviously, there's some people that don't want to, you know too much. They don't want to play the demo. They don't want to see the, you know, there's still, and unfortunately, some people that still don't have a PS5 out there that I'm sure listen to this. To the show, and I think some in the Mosey Gang as well, but you know, which is unfortunate. But you know, hey, they're, you know, you can at least find them in stores now. You know, so like if you can, you know, justify buying a console for a single game, which I mean, it probably will be on PC at some point. I would have to assume, right? Because they did that for Remake, so why not?
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, probably gotta wait a year or so, but. Man, imagine having to wait a year.
No, I wouldn't be able to do it.
No, like I've already waited enough, I think, at this point. Speaking of which, I guess, I don't know. I even though we've done a couple of these at this point, even though our last episode was discussing the last trailer that came out, do we just go through it from beginning to end?
Let's
and
take
just
it from the top. Let's take it from the top.
Yeah, take it from the top. Give me the Black Materia, Cloud.
Yeah, right off.
Just
the
give
bat,
it to
right?
me, dog.
Just give it to me, dude.
Why are you playing? Dude, just give me the Black Materia, dog.
Well, that's what this whole leg of the journey really is about.
Right, know? And this is I from my recollection is happening way before. Maybe, because doesn't Sephiroth say that to him after he already gets it in the original? Or it's been so long, and I've been like struggling to try and
in the spirit of Rebirth, I have after completing an FF7 playthrough last year, I've decided to boot up OG FF7 again.
Oh, see, you know.
And I could say I've gotten past Junin Harbor. It's about where I am right now.
Okay.
And Sephiroth has not asked for the Black Materia. So I'm pretty sure that, yes, this is happening much sooner than it.
Yeah, which, I mean,
quote unquote, supposed to.
Based on a lot of other things in this trailer as well, it seems like they're kind of altering things a little bit. To what extent, really, of like, you know, obviously we see, like, Rufus and Hojo at the City of the Ancients, which we're talking about before the show, and it was like, I'm pretty sure they weren't there in OG. It's interesting, and because, you know, we're obviously going to be setting up a lot more stuff for everything going forward, because, you know, I think Remake was obviously just like the surface of where we're going, and we're going deep. I think Rebirth is going to be, it's going to be something crazy, something that we were talking about again before the show, and just like saying that this, whatever this game is going to be, is going to be next level something that I still don't know, all these trailers.
We'll get into it, but it's going to be very different. We'll get into it as the trailer goes on. It's going to be very different.
Yeah, and also, like the way the City of Ancients looks, I think it looks really cool. And I noticed people were saying that the layout of this City of Ancients kind of looks like the Shinra logo a little bit, where it's like a square and then the diamond, and then, which I didn't really notice before, but now that I heard that, I can't unsee that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Do you have a timestamp?
Let's see here. About like 1:35-ish. I think it's a pretty good spot there. You can kind of make out a little bit. If it continues to look like, you know, you don't see it fully done there, but it kind of looks like it.
1:35 on the trailer?
I'm on the full state of play.
Oh, you're on the state of play.
Yeah. I'm on the Rebirth. Oh, you're just on the trailer, and I was thinking about that too. I was like, should I? I don't know if I should have the full state of play up or just the trailer.
Here, I'll pull up. I got that. I'm gonna pull up the state of play.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think that is interesting, for a multitude of reasons, because that is like, all right, well, is that what, you know, Shinra based their, are they have more ties to this that, you know, predate, you know, President Shinra? And that's the stuff I'm actually kind of the most curious about, is like if they're going to change any of like the larger lore stuff of these other locations, you know, and like what the lore implications on the rest of the world, you know, and maybe just mm-hmm. like tweak them and like, oh, maybe, you know, Shinra wasn't, you know, somehow there was a, you know, I don't know, a Richard Spencer from, you know, the early Shinra days that came in and was inspired by this City of the Ancients, you know. I'm not sure, but I don't know. It could be nothing, too. It could just be a coincidence, but I don't also, I don't trust coincidences with these things, with this game specifically, which we'll get into, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at the City of Ancients, it looks like. That kind of looks like it's going to be, I guess they said that was going to be the end of the game, right? Towards the end, at least.
Well, Forgotten Capital.
Oh, the Forgotten Capital, rather. End, yeah. So, I don't know, man. I love that this game, and we've also, we're not going to go too much into the demo for anyone wondering. We're just going to wait until the other part of it comes out to really kind of dive into it. But, I mean, even just from the trailer alone, like, it just, this game is just everything that remake was, and then they just kind of cranked it up. You know, to like, they just fine-tuned it and tweaked it and added all these other things that is just more but better of what there was, you know? And I've been playing through Remake, as I mentioned before, recently, and the juxtaposition, even just playing through from the demo and going back to Remake, it was like, whoa, okay, this is crazy. Like that they didn't really change all that much, but it also feels like a completely, like, this is what Remake should have been in a way, or at least how it feels gameplay wise, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyways,
well, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's like I said, playing the demo to me made me feel the leap from PS4 to PS5 more than anything else has. Mm-hmm. So far.
Yeah.
So.
And so speaking of which, we see some more team up attacks in here, which by far my favorite one so far has to be Barrett and Aerith. And Aerith puts the sunglasses on,
of course, and they
pose. it's pretty great. It's pretty great. She holds her staff like it's a gun. Charming. It's great. It's pretty good. And then I think it comes up later, but my second favorite one has to be the one with Aerith and Yuffie, where she makes like these like dolls, like marionettes of her, and she does like a triple attack thing. I'm like, man. And then they said, oh yeah, hey, every single combination has stuff, like every possible combination of team attacks were out there. So I'm glad. I'm glad that was, 'cause that was something that I was curious about. I'm like, is it going to be everybody? Is it like, you know, only certain ones have, you know? But I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself here.
Well, no, they've said in an interview, they've clarified that every combination of characters will have special moves with each other. Like, mm-hmm. There won't be one combination that won't have special attacks.
Okay, I see. All right. I mean, hey, that's still pretty great. And then we see just a couple of quick flashes here. We see Palmer in a mech, I think, or some sort of machine, a tank or something. Probably at Junon, I guess. I would assume. Do we fight him in OG? I don't remember.
Yeah, no, we
fight him in a thing, right? In a. Mm-hmm. But that isn't until, like, way later, right? Or am I misremembering? Because, man, ever since this trailer came out specifically, I've been like, man, I really need to... I probably should refamiliarize myself, because it has been a while for OG for me. But, I definitely remember...
Palmer is in Rocket Town, because he's
Rocket
Palmer's
Town.
Associated with the space program.
Right.
That's
right.
His position.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we bump into him at Rocket Town with Rufus in the original.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm curious too, and because I was talking with some of the Mosey Gang, and we were thinking that we're gonna run into Sid like way earlier in the game, or like earlier than we would meet him originally. And he's just going to be like our ferryman from, you know, the two different continents or whatever. And then eventually, you know, he'll be integrated into, and that's how he like slowly makes his way into the party, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe that'll, because it seems like they're making these little interesting little storytelling changes, you know, and like putting characters in spots where they weren't before. So like it's gotten me thinking, like, you know, what, how far could they take that? And, you know, is it gonna end up somewhere where you're like, maybe it shouldn't have done that or something, you know? It's got me thinking about a lot of different things that potentially could happen still. But then we see Don Corneo, speaking of which, comes back in the Gold Saucer with Abzu, which, sure, you know, we knew we were going to run into him again eventually, so, you know, I guess the Gold Saucer makes sense. And then, oh, and the thing that I wanted to talk about, that I was very curious about, fucking Gilgamesh, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, baby!
In Wutai, it looks like. I don't know if it's Wutai or maybe it's...
Well, no, we're not going to Wutai in this game.
Right. So I guess maybe that could just be, like, Don Corneo's, like, other hideout, maybe?
It could be in the gold... No, it could be in the gold saucer. It could just be, like, in a weird setting in the gold saucer.
Yeah, which... because Gilgamesh was definitely not in the OG, right? As far as I can remember. He's been in, like, every other Final Fantasy game except for... except for 7 OG. So, I mean, that's interesting that he would show up here and... is he just going to be like a summon? I don't know.
No, I think he's, like, a secret boss.
Secret boss? Okay. Well, I mean, not so secret anymore. But I like that someone pointed out that he might also be holding the Buster Sword on his back or something. You can kind of tell in that shot, that beautiful fucking shot of him in front of the moon. Which has got to be one of the sickest shots in this entire trailer. But yeah, I could see that. And then speaking of secret boss fights, we get our formal reintroduction to Roche here.
Good old Roche.
And I'm glad that he gets a little moment there. And he's... I can definitely feel like it's gonna... I want him to be that persistent threat, or, you know, the vibe check every once in a while. But I don't know. It seems like the Gold Saucer is gonna be packed with shit to do. So, and that whatever arena thing that you're doing seems like maybe like a Corneo's Coliseum sort of deal, where it's just like, hey, yeah, just fight. I don't know. It's a bunch of random stuff. And here's Roche, and here's two hell houses. Because fuck you.
Nah, it's good to see Roche back. Roche is one of my probably my one of my favorite mysteries, just in terms of, like, new things added to remake and why.
Yeah, it's like, what is your deal?
Like, characters like Roche. Yeah, like, characters are like, you just Roche here
to simp over Cloud? Is that is that the only...
Well, it's funny you bring that up, right? Because it almost bears a similarity to how Sephiroth, in a sense, is kind of fixated on Cloud, too. That's why my guess has always been that Roche has an S gene, in the way that Cloud has an S gene.
And maybe that's why he's, like, drawn to him. Mm.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because you don't introduce Roche for no reason.
Because we had some, like, a while ago, we did, like, a Rebirth, like, theory episode, and I remember we were talking about, like, Roche has to be connected to something somehow, you know. He has to, like, he can't just be, like, you know, I guess he could be just, like, a quirky, you know, whatever side character, but I don't know, man. Like, we fight other third class soldiers in the game that are just, like, regular, you know, grunts, so you know, I don't think they would just add him. You know, it's like Chadley, you know? Like, any of these new guys that got introduced in Remake, you're like, yeah, something's up with you two. Something's up with you guys. I don't know what yet, but, it's something, you know, still suspicious about Shinra Middle Manager, you know? That he's gonna be the real threat, I think. He's the real sleeper threat the whole time. But,
guys like him don't get added for no reason. I think there's gonna be a very important...
Oh, yeah.
Narrative subplot with him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it may not be like a super key thing to, like, the overall story, but if, like, he's definitely going to have some sort of a story impact, I feel like, you know, to some degree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess then we talk about, oh yeah, then one of I'm trying to imagine where this could be. I guess this is maybe just a dream that Cloud is having. Where he stabs Sephiroth, because, or maybe,
or
is it in the boat?
Maybe, because there are several times Sephiroth and or Genova are able to project themselves in front of Cloud in the original. So I'm wondering, I mean, even in Remake we see this, right? So I'm just wondering if this is maybe not necessarily a dream, but like a vision Cloud is having, because maybe the, you know, maybe Genova's having a stronger and stronger effect on him as the game goes on. So,
right, as Sephiroth collects more pieces of her body, and she gets more powerful. It's like a shonen shonen anime situation. But yeah, I mean, goddamn, dude, bad touch, Sephiroth. And I just like the framing of that, and you'd be like, oh yeah, like, Sephiroth is kind of freakishly tall, and it looks extra wrong when he's like kind of hunched over him. It's like it's like that,
well,
you know,
realize
that
how
uncle
tall
you don't want around
is,
at the at the function, you know. But I mean, it's got like, it's kind of cold as fuck though. The, you know, fill your hollow heart with hatred or anger, whatever
that's,
he says.
Again, like, we've talked about Sephiroth sowing seeds of doubt between Cloud and his party members, and
they're
banking. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, we see later on in this trailer.
Oh yeah, we'll get there.
The implications of that, but then I guess the next big thing, unless I don't know if you had anything more that you wanted to say on that. But we'll circle back around to it. Because then we see Zack and Aerith, which I'm assuming has to be before or after, I guess, after Cloud, after Zack comes back to Midgar, and after that other thing that we see where Aerith's getting airlifted. So maybe, I don't know, does Zack like intercept them? Does something happen? I don't know. I'm only assuming that just because Zack looks like how he did when he was dragging Cloud back to Midgar, so I'm assuming it has to be like right as soon as he gets here, which, if everything else so far is what I'm thinking it is, it's like, you know, the ending of Remake happens and then Zack just walks to Midgar and then he's like caught up in, or brought forward in time, or whatever, whatever the fuck is going on. But yeah, I think so.
Well,
something like that.
The scuff on Aerith's face looks awfully familiar to the kind of scuff she has on her face in one of those first trailers when she's on the stretcher. So it's possible this is maybe Zack after he like breaks Aerith out of wherever they took her.
Yeah, because I'm thinking maybe what happens. Oh, okay. All right. Now, because I'm starting to put the pieces together of the trailers that we've seen. So, Zack probably comes back to Midgar with Cloud, goes to Sector 5, right? Where they have that big TV up there, and he's probably watching that broadcast that we see with Aerith getting airlifted in the helicopter, hands Cloud off to Kyrie. Right, because we see that in that trailer, and then he probably goes and finds her or whatever, or at least her, and then brings her back home, and then he meets up with Biggs, I guess, or maybe Biggs finds them. I who knows? Maybe Biggs like tracks her down, or I don't know. But like,
okay,
it's
here's what I think I got for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sees the broadcast, passes Cloud off.
Right.
Then he heads for Elmira's. Oh, no, this happens after he stops at Elmira's, actually, based on what we see in that trailer. But he's in the same sector as the orphanage.
Yeah,
so
that's,
it's possible
Sector 5.
Biggs sees him right away, because Biggs frequents that same orphanage. So it's possible right after he drops off Kyrie.
And
so
he would know Aerith. No, he wouldn't, because he never met her. But, I mean, I guess he would know of her, right? Like, as if he made that orphanage or whatever, there's no way he doesn't know who she is, right? Like, if you live in the same sector, you probably, who knows? I don't know. And I guess she probably was helping out the orphanage a lot I would assume. I don't know. It's all these possibilities I didn't think about because of, you know, they're adding all these extra connections. You're like, oh, like, did they just never, I guess they never would have talked about it, I guess, because then Aerith, the only time Aerith comes to Sector 7 and or is around them is when the Pillar's getting attacked. And he's already up on the tower getting knocked out, I guess. So, yeah. Maybe they're like, oh, yeah, we were childhood friends. I was one of the kids that was bullying her in the train graveyard flashback. Yeah, who knows? And I love that they still, you know, they'll show a scene like this and be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, what? I can't discern much from it. And then speaking of that, then we get your favorite, your favorite guy.
I love this man.
Your favorite gi? Yeah. Hmm. this weird tribal looking dude, which I was seeing people talk about, that it was the Gi tribe or like Bone Village, which was like a side thing in Cosmo Canyon, right? And it seems that that's what seems like the consensus is for most people, is that it's related to something in Cosmo Canyon. There's like the boss that you fight there that I saw, like, because I don't remember it that well, but I do remember like a Bone Village or something like that. So, and there is like a boss that you fight there that we see in the trailer later on. So. But yeah, the fact that he's talking about the Black Materia, and then this would obviously be like way before, you know, all the other, or who knows? I don't know. Maybe, you know, this would be before Junon, right? Or before the first thing in this trailer, when Sephiroth is telling him to get him the Black Materia. So I wonder. Like, are they going to start looking for the Black Materia because of this guy? And then Sephiroth's just going to come and be like, nah, give it to me, though. I don't know.
You know something?
Are these guys... is this guy like a...
prediction.
Is he like a a celestial?
You know what, though?
Ancient?
I feel like...
Maybe?
That's the trees. I want to look at the forest. Where he's like, please... It alone can liberate us from this endless dream.
Endless dream, yes. Yeah. So that part...
Like, so is this world just like... Did it branch off the original FF7 and suspended in its own reality?
And it makes me think about... it makes me think about the Faith from Final Fantasy X.
FF10, yeah.
So I'm very curious.
And FF7 and FF10 are supposed to be in the same universe.
I mean,
it's funny you say that.
Yeah, which the trailer for the next game opens with fucking Tidus in the water, you know, just floating in the water and just a blitz ball floating on a beach somewhere. I mean, that would be interesting. And like, honestly, if the whole live stream and the live stream white and black stuff is true and like comes to fruition here, I think that's even a stronger argument that they're meant to be in the same universe or you know, or at least like adjacent, because that seems been a while since I played FF10, but from my interpretation of how all that shit went, it seems very similar, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean that. That'd be, like, I'm just imagining now the third part of this trilogy is just gonna be the FF10 remake. And then they're just gonna keep doing that for all the other ones. Like, yeah, we'll just we'll just do like a blend all these games together, and that they're all part of the same, the FF universe, the FFU. Jeez.
The
FFCU. But no, I think, yeah, I don't know if this, I don't know, shaman guy, I don't even know what to call him. He looks like an alien almost. Like, he looks so bizarre. But I mean,
voice actor goes in,
you know, I didn't even have, I didn't even have time to process this guy, because the very next thing that we see is fucking Cisne.
Yeah, baby. And look, didn't we say it? She'd be in Gungaga.
She'd be
watching over Zach's parents. She's a good girl.
Yep, she's probably running shit there.
She's running. And she started the youth division. Or the youth coalition. That's what it's called.
The youth coalition. Yeah, right. Yes, that's what it said on the social media post that they did, right? Mm-hmm. That's so cool, man. I lost my fucking shit. I lost it so bad.
Same. We did it. We won.
I was just like, yeah, we fucking did it. Oh, man. That was so fun. I was just... Like, this whole entire thing, like, watching it the first time through was a wild experience. And I'm just like, there's just banger after banger after banger after banger. And you're like, fuck, man, I can't keep up with this. It's too much. You know, and then we get to see, you know, Barrett in a sailor uniform, finally. I had no doubts either. And then, I guess everyone has their Casa del Sol fit, and I guess, I don't know if that's gonna be Barrett's, or maybe he gets his own, I hope he gets a Hawaiian shirt and swim trunks and, like, cargo shorts or something, I don't know. I could see him with, you know, and maybe just because I've been playing Infinite Wealth, and that takes place in Hawaii, I'm like, yeah, I could see him, you know, with, like, a lei, or, you know, wearing his lei and sunglasses. I feel like that'd be pretty good. And I have it on pretty good authority, by that I mean my own brain thought it, that we're going to get these costumes that we can put them in, and you could probably change them at any time. Because I am almost positive that there's a... I don't remember exactly where it is in the presentation, but... You see for like a split second that Cate Sith looks like his OG model and it wasn't in the Gold Saucer. It was like out in the world, and who knows, maybe it's like a mini game or something, but if they did that too, if they gave us everyone can walk around as polygons, I don't know, man.
Well, I read
amassing too much power, I think, at that point.
Well, I read in an interview that on your first playthrough, you have to keep their normal outfits, except for when it's canonically appropriate, like a Costa del Sol. But on your second playthrough, you'll be able to customize the outfits, customize the party. That's the other thing, too. Your first playthrough of the game, Cloud has to be in your party at all times. Okay. However, on a second playthrough, you can make whatever party you want.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Well, there you go. Which I like that. You know, have it
be,
because, you know, you don't want to have like these, you know, heartwarming emotional scenes and people's, you know, they're just clipping through each other. These polygonal models just clipping, just not emoting, just one... one flat texture. I mean, that'd be pretty... It'd be pretty funny, though.
But now, all the Costa del Sol outfits are awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
Which, I think it's funny how, like... If you look at Cloud and Barrett's... Like, it's not... necessarily reflective of their like in-game outfits.
But yeah, Tifa, it's like the, yeah, the polar like opposites of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I of course, Tifa and Aerith look amazing. Of course.
Yeah. Just ask Red 13.
Yeah, which is weird that you can like hear his human voice, I guess. I don't remember that ever happening before. Or like not his human voice, but his, cuz he's like a kid, right? Like that's,
yeah. Well, he's like a teenager.
He's like a teenager, yeah. And then whatever that is in dog years, I guess he is now. But yeah, man. And then this game looks amazing. They just did a bunch of shots of like the environment and things like that. And we got dolphin mini games. we got literal wave race.
Well, I do.
Wait, didn't
say,
we?
I did enjoy the little shot of Yuffie freaking out about the materia.
Yeah,
I think what I'm hoping to see, that I think the original actually did pretty well with limited chances to kind of express this. But like Yuffie is the kid of the party. Like she is.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, so like she has to do things that kind of show you that, and just seeing her act this way kind of,
I mean,
like,
that's
perfect. I'm like, more
that is the, that is what I'm looking forward to the most of this game, is just like the, all the banter that is going to happen. I feel like we said that all the way back, like at when Remake came out, and we were seeing how they were handling it in that game, and be like, man, I really hope that when the other characters come in and it feels like this. And from everything else that we've seen so far, I can't possibly imagine that it wouldn't be just as good, if not better. And like having Yuffie just like in the dynamic of the squad, and like even there's certain parts where you'll see all of them together, and it's like, man, I can't fucking wait.
Dude,
I love these characters.
Band,
they're right.
There
isn't a game that makes me love its characters as much as Final Fantasy VII. you got me. And I love that the ceremony, like the marching mini game, is there, and then they just turned it into the the rhythm game from Remake, which I think was a smart choice because I remember struggling a lot with that, the original one, back in the day. And having all the people being like, what are in the crowd being like, this guy, he knows he's on TV, right? Whatever they'd say. How embarrassing. But yeah, I'm pretty sure, well, I guess the next thing I want to talk about is our ambassador from Wu Tai, who is the hooded man from that other trailer that we see, that everyone was like, well, that I was like, that's Cid. And I'm like, oh no, it's not. It's definitely not.
It's Glenn or Genesis. It's Verdot, Glenn, Genesis. It's one of those three.
Because here's the thing. It has to be somebody that Rufus knows and would be surprised that is there. So I think, and I haven't played, I mean, as of us recording this, they just released another chapter of the First Soldier stuff in EverCrisis, which I haven't played yet. But I want it to be Glenn, but I really want it to be Verdot. Because how amazing would that be? That is one of the characters from the other parts of the compilation that I want to see come back the most. Or, like, actually have, you know, because I can't, you know, I'm sorry, Before Crisis, I'm sorry. I cannot imagine, anyone, I mean, I'm sure some people did play it, for sure, but I'm like, come on, you can't, and like, what a pull that would be, you know, like, Cisne, like, is, you know, at least she was in Crisis Core, and more people did play Crisis Core, but I feel like no one played Before Crisis, and that would be, like,
and even then, she was Shuriken.
Right.
Before Crisis.
Exactly.
Which was with very limited agency.
Mm-hmm. So I think Verdot would be a great person to come back, and just I don't know how he would be integrated into the story, but I mean, obviously not as the head of the Turks, but I mean, Sung is there too. So I mean, that's I'm thinking about the emotional implications of, because like, if there's one thing that game did do, it made me even connect to these, you know, characters in a way, even though the game looked like Gumby, on a, you know, Japanese cell phone game from the mid-2000s, actually made me feel things at some points. It's fucking wild to me. But hey, that, you know, I say that statement, and I think that, you know, they did say it, they did call it right in here, that this series and this part of this series in particular just does something. But I think, I don't know, all the Final Fantasies, I feel like all the ones that I've played and actually, like, you know, put some time into, you do get connected to all those characters, right? I mean, it's a big part of the appeal, I think, of these games, is that, like, the, you know, the character developments and the relationships and things, you know, it's all, you know, a big chunk of it. And I mean, it kind of had to be, I think, for a while, because, I mean, I don't know. I mean, whatever, combat was always kind of fine, but you're not going to Final Fantasy for the combat, I guess. I mean, some people, maybe, but I, you know, it wouldn't be the first thing that I would think of when going to those games. But, you know, then again, you know, that Final Fantasy didn't even really have, it wasn't that big over here until 7, and they were like, oh, we can actually put more effort into the storytelling aspect instead of just having, you know, these 2D sprites bouncing up and down on the screen with a text box, you know? So, but, you know, it endured enough that, you know, enough people were connected to even those characters that you can, you know, we have the series continuing in such a way at this point when they very nearly could not have been at a certain point, you know?
Yeah, and especially
looking at you, Spirits Within.
Yeah.
Which, man, imagine if they found the way to bring Spirits Within back and, like, make that, like, an actual, they just own it one day, and they're just like, yeah, we made Spirits Within 2, bitch. But, yeah, I want it to be Verdot, but I also want Glenn to exist in this, whatever the hell's going on here.
I mean, Genesis with a beard would go hard, wouldn't it?
Punish Genesis? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay.
All right. Tell me, honestly, I think if I was Genesis's PR guy, I'd be telling him, you got to grow a beard, Genesis. The people love beards. It's a sign of growth. It's a sign of,
yeah, and maybe if you had like a sick scar or like an eye patch or something.
Right. Yeah, wear a hood, you know what I mean? We gotta mix it up a little bit, Genesis.
Yeah, you weren't a big hit.
Yourself a lot in Crisis Core, that's all well and good. We gotta add a little mystery.
Yeah, you know. Maybe a little less Loveless, a bit more introspection, a little you can keep the dumb apples though. That's fine. That's a quirky character trait. We could work with that. But the Loveless though. There's only so much. But I still think we had talked about it before. Hopefully if Genesis does come back, which I'm pretty sure he's gotta, right? He has to. In some form.
At this point it's pretty likely.
And I want him to be the one that finishes Loveless.
All I'm saying is the first lines, if he does appear, has to be, even if the morrow is barren of promises, nothing shall forestall my return. Like, come on. Can you think of a better thing you can say to walk on into a story, into a scene? Come on.
Yeah. And I know, because I know we've marked out before about Like, oh man, if he's just like, you know, you see a guy, he's like out of focus, and you just see like his, you know, the lower half of his face, and then he pulls a dumb apple up to his mouth, bites it, and then says that line. Or probably says the line and then bites it. Would probably work out better without a mouthful
just
of apple.
Just talk with his mouth full.
Yeah, well, even the bone of pomo food. I mean, that'd be pretty great. But speaking of not great, actually, our good old pal Dine, who, man, I just love that every time. It's just like, yeah, this is gonna be terrible. This is, and like, not in like a bad way, but like, this is gonna
be hard to watch.
It's gonna be rough, man. You want to see a man have a fucking a crisis? Hey, FF7 mental crisis. yeah, can't wait for that. And then we jump right to another man having a mental crisis.
Yeah.
And our boy Cloud, which, for those of you who did not play the demo, once you finish the first part of the demo, the flashback, they do play this trailer again in at the end of that. And there's one change in there that I thought was very interesting, and that has to do with this scene here when Cloud is reciting what Sephiroth had mentioned at the end of that other trailer, that, you know, Genova will take the shape of those you love, you know, those you hate, those you love, and whatever to get. And then he's like, I'm no fool, and he's going to attack Tifa, seemingly.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have had many takes. I've had many takes. Some were wrong. Some made no sense. Mm-hmm. Some were right.
Haven't we all? But I'm getting scared.
Nothing I have said has caught me more flack than insinuating that this shit was going to happen. That Cloud
was going to kill Tifa.
Messed with to the point that he turns on his party members. And that in particular, if Genova were thinking tactically, she would turn him on Tifa.
At the very least,
the like, idea that Cloud would attack Tifa is just too much for some people.
I yeah, guess. Well,
it well, happened.
Say, so don't you feel? Say, so you feel pretty proud of yourself at this point.
I don't, because honestly, dude,
because it sucks. Because you're like, oh no, I don't want it.
Also, I'd prefer she were not in danger.
Which I mean, I don't think she's. I don't think he's going to kill her.
What the hell did people think when she said Cloud? You're scaring me in the remake. What the hell do you think they put that in there for?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first things in remake that wasn't from the original.
Yeah, and that was the first time I remember being like, ooh, like,
ooh, right?
What is this? You're like, I'm in danger. But, as I was going to say, the difference between the state of play or the YouTube trailer and the one that's in the demo is that Cloud has blood on his face during this scene. And that's interesting. And I don't want to read into it too much. And I wonder if it is literally just like a censorship thing or like an ESRB thing of like, oh, we can't show blood on the trailer because something, or maybe there was just a different cut of the trailer or something. You know, I don't know. I don't know how far to read into that. But it was something that stood out very noticeably to me.
He kerfuffled with somebody else.
Yeah, because it seems like, well, this is obviously, this is the scene kind of leading up to the, what we saw in the previous trailer of Tifa falling back into the pool, whatever, the mana pool, materia pool, whatever, the life stream, whatever is down there. And I wonder, and I think it's also, we saw in the previous trailer that Cloud was fighting just a bunch of Shinra troops. And like, you know, when Hojo's like, you would make a remarkable soldier, whatever he says. And then like, he cuts to him, like cutting down a bunch of Shinra troopers. I think that's in the same spot, because if you look in the background, you see a bunch of dead Shinra troopers there, and it kind of looks like a similar sort of terrain-ish to that. I don't know. I like how I'm trying to, like, put this stuff into a timeline, but, I mean, and it is kind of fun, like, taking bits and pieces from all these trailers so far and just kind of being like, all right, well, this is kind of maybe associated with this, but I don't know where it is in relation to everything else, you know what I mean? Like, I know, like, these little pockets of things, maybe, but not the full picture, which, I mean, obviously, I would hope that I wouldn't know the full picture before I've played the video game, but I love that I'm saying that, and then the next thing that we go to is the other thing that I had baffled me the most, aside from our Black Materia friend from before, and that's the scene with Sephiroth and Zack in front of the Sector 5 church, and then Sephiroth turns around and goes, "No, not you," and then, like, swipes his sword at him. And I was just like, I don't even know what to make of this. Is this, like, is he literally going to, is Sephiroth just going, is he, like, restarting time over and over again until he finds, like, the optimal route? You know, and just like, oh, no, not you. Or maybe Biggs is with him. Maybe someone else would be like, you know, oh, it's...
Well, notice
it's...
Zack doesn't have his Buster Sword.
Uh-huh. So this, I think this is probably after he's been in... he's probably been around for a little bit. But then... Because... It cuts to the next shot, which also is another thing I want to talk about, with Aerith and Cloud in the church, and she's handing him holy, I would imagine, the white materia. And maybe that is happening at the same time, maybe. And maybe... And I had heard people saying that this Cloud and Aerith, this is in the Zack timeline, and they've both woken up. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the implications of that are based on the theories that we were having the last episode, but.
Well, and then random idea. Cloud and Aerith both die at the Forgotten Capital, and they wake up here.
Mm.
And the game ends with a crazy cliffhanger. Like, maybe everything you're looking at here takes place, like, at the very end of the game, for all you know.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, it kind of gives me that vibe, because it seems to me like this is, like, you know, this is the enlightened Aerith, you know, kind of like the one that we see during the affirmation scene a little bit from Remake, mm-hmm. you know? Where it's like, oh, this is the Aerith that knows shit, and, like, actually mm-hmm. knows, instead of it just being, like, kind of jumbled in her head, she actually knows what, you know, she's the omnipotent one. And she's like, hey, no, this is, because when she hands him the materia and goes, you know, this isn't about me, this is about saving the world and you, so... that seems a bit direct to me. You know, and there's other things that we saw in the presentation, like they showed some other clips here and there where it's like, oh no, Aerith seems to know what's happening a bit more, you know?
Yep.
And, no, sorry, go ahead.
No, just saying, yeah, and you on, basically. Keep going.
Yeah. That's to me, it seems like there's, you know, she's going to probably reveal a bit more maybe after the Cosmo Canyon stuff, you know, maybe Bugenhagen knows some stuff. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like the greater implications of how they're going to retell certain things, and, you know, is Bugenhagen going to know stuff? Is he going to know stuff that we haven't, like, all the crazy new stuff yet? Like, we don't know. is there, like, and how deep does it go? Does he know everything? Does he know nothing? What does Aerith know? But then, the interesting thing to me is that the last two shots of the trailer here are clearly the one where everyone's kind of floating on a rock, minus Aerith, by the way.
Minus Aerith, Vincent, and Sid.
Yeah, which I don't think, because I don't think that Sid and Vincent are, they're probably not going to come with you to the City of the Ancients, I would imagine. Because I think that scene before where, he's patting Aerith on the shoulder and being like, oh, if you, you know, when you need to leave, I'll be here. I took that as like, oh, they're probably just gonna like hang in the back. they're just gonna keep the engine running, and then just be like, oh, they got sucked into another time vortex, and then God knows what's gonna happen there. But
crazy too, right? Because the structure behind Sephiroth is the Forgotten Capital.
Is the Forgotten Capital? Yeah.
First. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. It's almost
and
like
this is very, very clearly the. Going to be the final the final boss, very much, because it reminds me of the ending of Remake. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, you know, it's the same high quality high quality CGI, but the more, and then the even on top of all of that, we get to see the culmination of these last little stingers that they've put at the last few trailers here, of Aerith's maybe death, maybe not death. And we see Cloud, and this time we clearly see Sephiroth doing a downward stab, as he is known to do. So, and Cloud is trying to intercept him, so... I don't know, man. I love that they just, they keep playing with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know, is he gonna make it in time? Is Cloud gonna... I don't know. Is he going to kill Aerith? Mm-hmm. Is he going to kill everybody? Whoa.
Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
Because if... The only thing that I'm kind of hung up on is that if... In the Zack timeline, right... If Aerith and, like, Biggs and them are there, everyone's there. So, basically, all that happened without Cloud being there, right? So, there isn't, like, another version of Cloud walking around somewhere in that Midgard? Like, that wasn't there when everyone else got declared dead or whatever? That's the one thing that I still am so... Like, I need to know. I need to know how this is all working, because it's the entire... And I love that there... this is the final trailer, they called it, so I'm not anticipating anything else. Maybe it's something at the end of the other... When they release the other half of the demo, maybe there'll be, like, an extra something there, but I'm not holding out for that. But regardless, everything that we have seen so far... We've seen so much, and even during this presentation, I was like, this is too much, but then I'm like, we really don't know anything still. We still don't know the very first question that they asked us from the announcement trailer of what is Sephiroth's endgame. We still don't know what that is. We're still not anywhere closer to knowing that than we were back then. So, I don't know. It's pretty goddamn masterful.
If this is indeed the final trailer, right, then I think they did a much better job this time around, not spoiling too much. Like, to me, I don't see any Barith getting stabbed in there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't see anything like that in this.
I mean,
trailer,
maybe so. depending on what that Zack and Sephiroth scene turns out to be, maybe.
It's not like you got to see the sword go through fucking Zack's torso.
Right. That's why I'm like, I feel like that it's still up in the air. It could go either way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it could also be like not real. Or who knows? Sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, you're good, man.
Choking on my water over here. Because I'm also thinking that if if Sephiroth has this ability to reset or to create another, like, bubble dimension or something, and he could just, like, keep doing that, you know, literally fucking bites the dust style, just keep resetting, you know, until he gets the optimal path for him to absolutely, you know, take over everything and kill everybody. But there also has to be some sort of a, you know, an order to it, probably. I'm going to imagine that at some point we're going to, like, the final boss of the third game is going to be a big capital D. Capital D Destiny. Just a giant Times New Roman D. we'll have to fight. No, but I don't know. I feel like because Destiny and Fate and all this stuff kind of it's definitely a very prominent theme. So I have to imagine that, you know, maybe Sephiroth is trying to break free from all that, but something tells me that maybe you can't. And that maybe he will find that out the hard way. And just be like, nah, you always gonna lose. Once a sucker, always a sucker. No, but who knows? Yeah, I am all over the place with it, honestly.
Well, we were talking a little bit about this in the pre-roll, and I think people got to brace themselves. The ending is going to be very different from anything you've ever seen, yes, or could have ever predicted. Yes. It's very clear that they are mixing the bag up.
And they are merging, yeah, they are
worlds, and that the third game will be about setting things right. But I think this is
our Empire Strikes Back game. Remember,
yeah.
Remember they literally, I think, was it Kitase said that or Hamaguchi or some.
It was actually an interview with Nomura, which was very funny because there was a point where they asked him about Nomuraism, which he laughed. God. He's like, yeah, I'll see people, like, they'll be playing one of a Square Enix game, and if they see something they don't like, they just go, oh, Nomura. But I'll be like, I didn't work on this game. Or I didn't write this game. Like, what was it? People were complaining about how the ending of FF16, without spoiling it, you played through the end of FF16. But basically, the things that happened at the ending there, people who didn't like it just went, oh, this must be Nomura. And he's just like, but I'm in a different studio.
Yeah, that wasn't... That's Yoshi P. Anyway, look at you. Be angry at Yoshi P.
Right. He was kind of saying in an interview, like, yeah,
don't be angry,
we've
Yoshi
all kind of had talks that there are going to be people who don't like what we did here. Like, they're prepared for that, which tells me it's going to be different.
Based on how things went with Remake, which, you know, as we had talked about before the show, that, you know, the argument could be made that, like, 98% of Remake, you know, if you're a fan of the original, like, you would love most of that game, right? Maybe some stuff, you know, they added, you know, some characters and some other little things, maybe, whatever, if you're that much of a stick in the mud about it. But anyone who didn't like the ending of Remake, I don't think is going to have a good time with whatever the ending of this game is going to be. Because I feel like it's going to be that times 100 if I'm thinking right. Because, I mean, and why not? Like, at this point, like, they have a vision, and they are going to execute upon it. And that's, whatever may come from that. And I honestly think there's no reason to doubt it at this point, because if I wasn't turned off by any of the Zack stuff, so... And I'm still not turned off of it yet, so I don't know. I think they'd have to fumble the bag pretty hard in order for me not to still be on board. But, I mean, I think one of the earlier episodes of this podcast, I remember saying, like, you know, if it ends up, if the third game comes out and we finish it and it ends up not making any sense, I still will have enjoyed my time there, I think, getting there. Or, you know, I don't think so, man. And that's not just, you know, being like a... You know, I just don't think it's too important. It's too important to them. They know, like, they're treating it with that level of respect that you don't really see very often with these sorts of things. So that, for me alone, like, you can tell, you know, you can tell when something, like, oh no, there's a level of care here that is not present in a lot of other games that come out, you know, and especially something as, you know, iconic as FF7, you know. They know what they're doing. Or you would like to think so. And this is coming from someone who was definitely very cynical about the games industry as a whole, but I think when it comes to this specific game, I feel like, at the very least, or this franchise, I guess I should say. I mean, they haven't let me down yet, so I'm totally...
I'm pretty confident in the team. Like,
I'm totally on board. But yeah, I mean, that's the end of the trailer. I mean, they did show a bunch of other stuff in the rest of the presentation there. I don't know how much I don't know how much there is to talk about other than it looks good. It looks like there's so much content in this game, like way more than I was thinking. And seeing the whole, like, the world map and stuff, you can go to all these different places at once. What I do like is that they're not gonna gate side stuff through progress. Like, you can unlock all the ability to do all the stuff, but you can go back at any time to do things, which I think is huge. Especially since this is gonna definitely be a bit more of like an open worldy sort of game. Like, it just kinda makes more sense to, you know, design it that way, I guess. Because I don't like when games are like, oh nope, you can never come back to this area, or you'll never be able to do, you better do it now, or you'll never be able to do it again. Like, you know, it's just like unnecessary, I feel like, a lot of times, unless obviously there's like a big story implication, like, I don't know, like half of the world gets blown up or something. Maybe, you know, I could understand if the literal geography of the map changes or something. Sure, but I don't know. Yeah, I loved all the team up stuff that they were showing us. The fact that you can now seemingly bring anybody on the Gold Saucer date, and that everyone, you have your little social links with everyone, which is cool. You have the little you know, everyone's got their own little happiness gauge above their head. And, man, which I love in the demo. I promise not to talk about it too much, because we will do a separate episode on it. But, you know, I can already tell, like, the little things that they'll do that will affect your relationships with people. And being like, oh, did you go into Tifa's house? Did you go into her room? Did you go into her stuff? You know? And... I can't wait to see the charts that people make for the optimal social link choices to pick for each conversation to get the maximum amount of whatever party XP or stuff. Which and the sphere grid. Yeah, they brought the sphere grid back, kind of, sort of. Which, again,
I'm a big sphere grid guy.
Final Fantasy X. What the fuck, man? I swear to God, if there's a Blitzball in Casa del Sol, I'm gonna lose my mind. you're not a fan of the sphere grid, you said.
No, I love the sphere grid.
You do. I mean, I'm indifferent. I don't understand why people, like, hated it so much. Like, I can understand it's like, all right, it's a little annoying.
Just level up. A lot of people just want
to
level up.
Yeah, they don't want to have to play like a mini game to level up, essentially. So, like, I get it, but also I'm like, I think it's one of those things that, you know, people just I don't know. They were just hating on it just to hate on it, maybe. I don't know. But I feel like there's a lot of games from that era that a lot of people, they have like, oh man, this is like such a shitty part of the game. And then you like, you go back and play it now and you're like, I mean, it's fine. I don't know. Maybe we're just, you know, we were shit kids back then.
In a world where RPGs are, in a sense, getting a little bit diluted, in the sense that a lot of RPG elements are disappearing from games. Having some more, I guess, would you say, old-fashioned RPG kind of stuff in there, I don't know. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love, like, something like the Sphere Grid is, it's like, it's unique, and I feel like something that could be revisited and, you know, revamped, and, like, I feel like they could make it work, you know, and I still, because even the original Sphere Grid, I remember being confused by it as a 10-year-old, but, you know, I think it definitely is something. It was a little clunky, for sure, and I feel like if they could just, like, reframe it or rework it somehow, I think it could be interesting and worth doing. And, I mean, they also mentioned that, like, you can re-spec any time, so, yeah, it seems, you know, like they've put, again, a lot of thought and consideration into even things like that. Which, yeah, like I said, you don't see it these days, and it's nice. It's nice to get that feeling every once in a while. And I'm trying to think. I like that they could only get Nomura in from. They just had to get him on a Discord call. He's probably very busy.
I've poured over so many Square Enix interviews the last few weeks. My only advice, if I could be in their ear for 3 seconds, I would just tell them, get off the internet.
Yeah,
stop reading people's opinions on YouTube and Twitter.
Yeah,
and
don't
do your thing. Do your thing.
Don't compromise your vision because there's some idiots on Twitter being idiots, you know?
Well, dude, I hate to say it. I watched FF16 get clowned on. People were saying, hey, action games, and they need to be more accessible. Not, like, accessibility for, like, blind people and people who
I know what you're saying.
But, like, make it easier, right? Now, these Final Fantasy games, they shouldn't be so hard. So what do? They added a bunch of things that could make the game easier.
You literally played the game plays itself, almost, yeah.
Right. But,
and that's fine.
And then you just had all the same people that were asking for that, dunking on them.
Like, oh, like, why'd you put all videos, this in the game? Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, man. You can't win. Yeah. You can't win with the internet. You can't win with, like, these people on the internet. You know, it's like,
they will clown on you for doing the very thing they were asking you to do last year.
Exactly. So that's why, yeah, hopefully they don't go into that stuff too much, because, yeah, I can easily see that getting out of hand very quickly. And that's why, like, that's going to be very interesting to see what the end of this game is like and see. Because my thinking is that this game, like, the story and everything has already been long since ironed out at this point. You know, like, maybe they can course correct in certain points if they have to, but to me it feels like they probably wouldn't have even started doing this if they didn't have a pretty decent outline of what they wanted to do, you know what I mean? And, like, maybe they can, like, fine tune it. Obviously, as you know, the more you work on something, the more you probably want to tweak things here and there, and who knows. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, don't listen to dumb Twitter people. That's our advice for the day. Don't listen to dumb Twitter people. You can Twitter's great and fun, and there's a lot of great things about it, but Just don't engage with the dumbness. Nobody got time for that. But yeah, I don't think FF16 should be getting shit on, though. Because I think the more options that you give, because there are people out there that don't, like, they maybe want to play a game, but they don't want a challenge. Like, I have a friend of mine who literally said that to me the other day. of like, oh yeah, I just, I, you know, he doesn't really play a lot of games. He's not like a, I wouldn't classify him as a quote unquote gamer TM, but, you know, he's been playing stuff kind of on and off. He's actually a Kingdom Hearts fan. So, you know, but he's like, yeah, I just don't, you know, he always plays games on easy. Doesn't care about, you know,
that, and hey, that's fine.
It being too far. And hey, and that, like I said, that's fine. And I think FF16 should be praised for giving that option.
He won't be insulting FF16 for that. Yeah, I was going to say, he won't be insulting FF16 for that.
Yeah, and I told him, because, and he was also a, you know, a big Game of Thrones fan. So I was like, man, I think you'd actually really enjoy this game. Because, I mean, it's not, you know, obviously not like, oh, Game of Thrones, but Final Fantasy. But and it's funny because he's never liked Final Fantasy games because he didn't like the random encounters, which, you know, you can obviously with the modern versions of those games, you can eliminate those. But, you know, I mean, FF16, I think, is great, but I love this. This turned into an FF16. Maybe we'll do our review of FF16 at some point. It's at this point, it was one of those ideas that we had just because we wanted to do an episode, and then, you know, thankfully there was stuff that came out that we could talk about. But short summary is, it's a good game. You should play it. If you like Final Fantasy, you should play the game. Even if you don't, you should, maybe that should be your first one. I think Final Fantasy 16 would be a very strong first Final Fantasy game for somebody if you're into you know, like high fantasy kind of stuff. More classic, like, you know, sword and shield type shit, knights, and all that stuff. But, yeah, as far as Rebirth is concerned, excuse me, my throat keeps screwing up here. But, yeah, I don't think there was anything else I wanted to talk about. In as far as like the gameplay stuff, I mean, it looks great. All the side content, we get Dolphin Wave Race and Red 13 Rocket League. it all looks pretty good.
It looks like a time. I hope some of these mini games have like online functionality though. That would be so epic.
I would hope so.
Online Chocobo race lobbies. Come on, dude.
Yeah, and I don't know. Because there was that one section that it kind of looks like you're playing Fort Condor, but I don't know if that's like Fort Condor fully being back, because it was kind of under the umbrella of, oh, Chadley does like other side missions and stuff, so maybe that's like a VR thing for Chadley. But I hope Fort Condor is back, like as like at just it's just in the game, you know? Because you do see the other Avalanche members, Nio and Polk and Billy Bob, right? How could I forget Billy Bob? Come on. Who could ever forget Billy Bob and Polk? Two of the most normal, the most normal names in this entire series. But yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm hella excited for this game.
Me too, and dude. These 2 weeks are. We know it too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be excruciating, but it'll be here before we know it. It all depends on when that Junon demo comes out. Well, you said the 21st. I keep forgetting. I keep re-forgetting that you already told me that before. But yeah. Well, and we'll do another episode before Rebirth. But then
it drops.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll have it up before then. But if not, you know, we'll have. I mean, obviously, you know, once Rebirth comes out, you know, we'll be back.
Oh, full we'll be steam, back, baby.
But yeah, I don't. I was trying to scrub through here to see if there was anything else that I missed that I wanted to talk about, but yeah. Not really. And also I think my voice is crapping out on me, so Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, Nick, or?
Thinking. And we're saving the demo for a new episode. As for this trailer, you know, I think we've touched on everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably my favorite trailer, I think. It's definitely the most, I mean, if not just for Cisne alone, I mean, Jesus Christ. We did it. I cannot believe we did it. Sorry, Nikki. I have to edit all these out.
No, it was a mosey manifestation.
Yes. You know, we have the power. If we believe, we can make anything possible. But
if we believe.
I guess
I think that'll do it.
I'll do here. Yeah, if my voice doesn't crap out.
Yeah, let's do it before you end up like
before I'm done.
You're gonna end up. No, you're gonna catch what I caught last year. All right.
Let's, oh God.
Let's not.
Please no. But yeah, I guess until the next one, everyone. Hope you enjoyed listening, and we'll see you next time. And then I'll count us down.
I'm sure. Ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Do my